Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Okay. Councilor Egbert?
Here.
Councilor Boggs?
Here.
Councilor Meyer?
Here.
Councilor Anderson?
Here.
Councilor Lazier?
Here.
Councilor Stone?
Here.
Mayor McKnight?
Here.
Seven, all present.
Thank you.
Introduction of media. Anyone wishing to speak before the City Council tonight on any subject matter, including the public hearing, will need to fill out a speaker form and turn it in to the recorder. Forms are available on the signing table in the back of the room. Public comments, agenda items only. The purpose of public comment period is to allow citizens to present information or raise issues regarding agenda items only. There will be a time at the end of the meeting for citizens to speak about off-agenda items. A time limit of 3 minutes per citizen shall apply. All citizens should come up to the microphone. Please state name and address. So I have one. Beth Hausman, come on up.
Come on down.
Come on down.
Beth Hausman, 109 Frontier Court. On behalf of the 7 current Friends of Quartz Pond Board of Directors, I would like to thank Mayor McKnight and City Council for considering the resolution on the agenda tonight, and also to thank Councilor Boggs, the Parks Advisory Committee, and city staff for meeting with us on site and listening to our vision for the Quartz Pond property. This resolution is very important to the future of our organization. Without a formal park designation and a partnership with the Friends, we will be unable to successfully apply to the IRS for 501c3 status. The application process and the up to 18 months approval time from the IRS will put us at 2017 before we can actively pursue any funding as a nonprofit. We hope that following tonight's meeting, we can move forward with our application process. Thank you.
Thank you. That's the only form I had, nobody else. Okay. Presentation, we have American Red Cross. Come on up, please. We also have the Salt Police Department Sergeant Mills. So you can.
Thank you. My name is Patty McCollum. I'm very honored to be here on behalf of the American Red Cross. I schedule and coordinate blood drives throughout 2 counties. Our mission is to ease pain and suffering where we are able to, and one of the ways we do that is by collecting blood for the hospitals, and it is through ordinary people like yourselves that commit the extraordinary act of helping to save up to 3 lives every time you donate blood. We have a fairly new city challenge program where different cities participate during the summer when our blood donations tend to be lower and the need goes up. And this year, the City of Sutherland Police Department participated in that. They were competing with other cities like Beaverton, Estacada, Happy Valley, Lake Oswego, Milwaukee, Roseburg, Sandy Police, Tigard, and West Lynn. And I'm very pleased to say that the City of Sutherland Police Department came in first place with the most first-time donors.
Nice.
Congratulations, and I also want to say that these blood drives, not only Gayla Holly, but her daughter Jensen Holly, who is a student at Sutherland High School, has been involved in helping to host these blood drives, and because of that, she's actually being considered for a scholarship from the Red Cross. And one last thing, The biannual blood drive from the City of Sutherland Police Department is on Monday, March 23rd, 9 to 2. So please see Gala to sign up. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Council business. So we have one budget committee seat that is vacant with the term ending December 31st, 2016. City has received five applicants for the position: Rebecca Bright Jones, David Huntsman, Denny Cameron, Joe Grouchman, and John Stahl. We also have one library board seat that's vacant with the term ending December 31st, 2018. City has received one application for the position, Morgan Sky Ironplow. So at this time, I'd like to give anybody an opportunity, the applicants, to come up to the mic and introduce themselves, or if they want to address the council or say anything, you're more than welcome to come up at this time. Nobody's interested? You're good? We got the applications. We read through them. I'd just like to give anybody an opportunity. So. With that said, you know, with there being one opening and five applicants, I want to personally thank everybody for applying. I think it's great. Love the fact that there's new people that have come up. You know, I think the council's worked real hard to, move forward, move in a positive direction, seeing new people come out, wanting to get on board and stuff and get them involved with these committees, I think is great. Personally, I would like to give new people any opportunity to serve their community and give back to their community. Although I'm going to open it up to the council to make their motions or do whatever direction they like to go in, but just wanted to say that. So I really do appreciate everybody applying. I think it's outstanding.
I'd like to make a motion to appoint John Stahl to the budget committee.
Second.
Okay, there's been a motion to approve John Stahl to the budget committee. And second, is there any more discussion?
Yeah. And I know John, and I worked with him for several years, but John's had a lot of experience in dealing with multi-million-dollar budgets in all aspects of it, not just personnel issues, but he's done with materials and services, and he's done vehicles, he's done anything required, basically, that government deals with.
Is he here?
Yes, he is here.
John, can you stand up? Not everybody knows you up here, so...
That's me. No, he's retired, so he's got lots of time on his hands.
No, that's definitely retired.
Is there any more discussion or any other comments? Or... Okay, vote.
Councilor Egbert?
Aye.
Councilor Boggs?
Aye.
Councilor Meyer?
Aye.
Councilor Anderson?
Aye.
Councilor Lazier?
Aye.
Councilor Stone?
No.
Mayor McKnight?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, so now to the library board. We have Morgan Sky Ironplow here. Would you like to stand up or say anything? Or I don't want to put you on the spot. You don't have to. I just want to give you a... Can you come up to the mic? Would you mind? Or that way you can... But you don't have to. Don't feel like you have to. But you don't have. But you don't have. I just want to offer it.
I'm a little better behind books. I'm Morgan Ironplow, and I've lived here about 9 years, I think, now, and wanted to start getting more involved in the community.
Thank you. So, is there a motion to...
I'll make a motion to appoint Morgan Ironplow to the library board.
Second.
Moved and second. Any discussion or comments? Vote.
Councilor Egbert?
Aye.
Councilor Boggs?
Aye.
Councilor Meyer?
Aye.
Councilor Anderson?
Aye.
Councilor Lazier?
Aye.
Councilor Stone?
Aye.
Mayor McKnight?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay.
Okay, so now we're down to the council budget priority approvals. We have the urban growth boundary swap. Before I turn it over to staff, I think I haven't get a chance to talk to Forrest or West, as far as if we want to kind of do it as a whole, you know, each group, and if people have individual questions on something, we can certainly do that instead of going down each one. So does that work for you guys?
You're West, talking okay about one vote for all seven?
Yeah, or just one discussion, you know, because we've heard it all.
Yeah.
You know, if people want to ask some more questions, we get. Seems like that's the consensus of the council to kind of do it that direction. So you're on.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, with that considered, other than Central Avenue project, I'm going to let all the other just staff reports stand on their own. And so what I'd like to do is if you've seen the staff report, it gives detail, you have schematic drawings. I'd like to let the committee members kind of give you the overall thought and concept. We've had probably three meetings leading up to this. Very, very, very preliminary. And I also want to say this is very, very preliminary. But what we're seeking from you tonight is to include this as one of your priorities as we move through and get through a process that will ultimately lead in an agreement for a transfer of authority and a co-applicant grant process with ODOT. And so that's going to require multiple more meetings and more detail, more engineering review in terms of verifying the numbers and those types of things. But the concept that we want to bring to you tonight isn't really looking at it in the narrow scope of a transfer of authority or maintenance, but looking at it in the totality of one single project. And so that's what the committee has been working on. You have the list of names. I'm going to turn the microphone over to Lindeen Brown and Tammy Trowbridge, presidents and co-chairs of this committee, and let them share with you, and then we're all available to answer questions.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen of the council and Mr. Mayor. I'm Tammy Trowbridge, president of the Chamber of Commerce, and this is Lindeen Brown, president of the Sutherland Downtown Development. And we have been part of these preliminary meetings and are pretty excited about the opportunity that's presented. And I know that there's a couple different ways that we could look at it, so I thought I'd bring the opportunity view to you as opposed to the conservative view. There's two ways, like I say, to look at it, but this really could be the chance to do some positive changes to our street and streetscape. And you know, obviously this is just very conceptual, very okay, we're looking at it here, and these are some concepts that IE Engineering put down on paper just to give us some ideas of what we might be shooting for. But the bigger thing here is to talk about what are we going to get for this, and is it a benefit for us in the city of Sutherland, and how can we actually, I mean, can we afford this thing? And so the state, Oregon Department of Transportation, would like to get rid of their jurisdiction Comstock to the railroad tracks, which is 0.8 miles. And they believe that $1.6 million will bring streets, sidewalks, curbs, those kind of things up to the standard that they need to be. And based on the fact that South Comstock was $1.9 million, I think I heard you talking about, that seems about right because there's not as much work to be done on Central. It's the width it needs to be. It's got existing sidewalks. It shouldn't be as much of a project. So, you know, that might be a good number to run with. From the railroad tracks out to Mardonna is between a half a mile and 0.6 miles. So even if you doubled that number, which it shouldn't take double to do the streets, sidewalks, those things, because it's not as far, it's not double the distance, you're still talking $3.2 million. And then there's obviously some adders that we want to do along with that, and I think you've seen the conceptual budget in your packet. But we have already been turned down once for a transformation or a transportation enhancement grant, right? A TE grant from the state. And they had applied for that to do the things that we're talking about in this project, some streetscape things, Yes, sir.
Actually, the transfer authority and that portion of Central wasn't part of it.
Wasn't part of it at that time, right, but it was just on the other side. So we're thinking that this opportunity, we could take this opportunity, roll the pots of money together, because it has been discussed with ODOT that that $1.6 million would make great matching funds. The first time we were turned down for the Transportation Enhancement Grant was because there just wasn't sufficient match going into the project for the downtown area that we were transforming. And ODOT says they have no problem using that $1.6 million as a match for this TE grant, which would give us a substantial amount of match, obviously. And so if we were to pair that with another $3.5 million, which is about approximately what we're asking for, I think, in this grant, would give you a total, and I'm going to talk round numbers here because we're still talking conceptual budget, right? Approximately $5 million to work on our street. Change it. Change the face of downtown. Create a place to downtown with entry and streetscape and landscaping and redo the sidewalks to make that ADA accessible. And we've been talking about, I've heard them in prior council meetings, that some of those sidewalks are really in a state of disrepair and exactly who owns them anyway. And it's just kind of a sticky wicket. And you get all of that redone with this money. And I realize that it's scary to take on another 0.8 mile of authority that we're going to have to maintain later. Because we really don't have much of a budget for maintenance in our city budget right now. I mean, there's $130,000 for overlays, and that's for all the streets. Now, we're not talking just Central. That's for all the city streets, right? And then there's another $30,000 for slurry seals, and then there's some sort of a fund exchange, federal, state, that gets set aside $70,000 or $80,000, which was part, I think, is where the $200,000 that was our portion of the South Comstock that came from those funds. So it's kind of a complicated thing, but there's not a lot of funds there for maintenance, even for what we've got. So based on what we've got, what we see, what we know we have in our budget, we can't do this. We can't redo Central, and we shouldn't take over their authority. But if we could roll it with this project, we would get brand new streets, sidewalks, we'd get a new downtown space, we'd be able to do the things that we've been pie in the sky kind of talking about with streetscapes and all those things. And also, I think an imperative part of this project is to set aside a percentage. Now, I know in this budget it only says $200,000, but we were actually talking more like $400,000 into a maintenance fund. That, and that's, between 7% and 8% of the $4.9 million that could be set there. Because common logic or reasoning, engineering, when you're talking to engineers, is they'll tell you once you do a brand new road, it's good for 10 years. So that fund could sit there and accumulate interest for 10 years. And we have somewhere around, depending on interest rates, $600,000 for maintenance from that point on. And that's more than we're going to have now. We don't really have much or a plan for getting much at this point in time. The other thing that that investment does is It's an intangible, you're kind of, like I say, it's not the conservative approach, but you're kind of stepping out there to say, okay, we as government believe that this little town is worth doing something like this, is worth the investment, is worth this kind of project, and we're going to go ahead and change the streetscape, change the look. And it's proven, well, I couldn't track the stat down, so I'm not going to say it's proven, but it generally is true that when government puts a significant investment into a place to make it better, to improve it, and to look better, then private individuals add to that the momentum and the outlook that's created. And if we're successful in creating a sense of place in our downtown, and then the downtown flag walking tour, those kind of things, which will bring more people, be more desirable to businesses, then your tax base goes up. And in 10 years, the whole landscape could look different. I know that McMinnville has changed incredibly over the last 10 years because they decided to do some infrastructure investments, to change some things, to get some streetscapes going and a theme, and just kind of lean into changing the face of their downtown. They've done a fabulous job, and there's been a huge change in 10 years. I think we could, well, we're on a place where we have an opportunity to start something that large. We could at least start the ball rolling. Questions, comments, concerns? Oh, I was going to say in that preliminary budget, we were just throwing up numbers out there to see if, you know, our pie-in-the-sky ideas with this amount of money, we could get them done. And it was pretty exciting to see that we could, because obviously we more than doubled the $3.2 million that we were thinking that if the state says 1.6 for 8-tenths of a mile, and we've got another 6-tenths of a mile, double should be real, but okay, let's pad that. And so we've added to that, and we've got screening and beautification and the maintenance fund. The utilities relocation, now that Jerry's had a chance to walk down Central on the few blocks that we're looking at, burying the lines, those are all just power lines. There's no, the transformers and the heavy duty things are off on the side streets. And so the cost of doing that should be much less than we had originally projected. We, you know, could be down to half of that $500,000. The wayfinding signage, in your packets, I think it's page 45 that had those signs. I've been researching and talking about doing that out of the tourism funds anyway. So, you know, we could take that, or at least a portion of that, and meet, you know, pay 50% of that. I'm thinking that the tourism funds should definitely add into this with signage. So I'm thinking there's ways to maximize this money and get the whole thing done, and it could really be amazing.
Cammy, I wish we could package your enthusiasm and sell that. We probably have tremendous reserves. That's a great presentation. I thank you.
Any other
questions?
Anybody have any questions? What was our match, what were you anticipating our match dollar would the city be responsible for?
Well, Jerry, you're going to need to answer that last. What does a TE grant like to
see
for match?
TE grant requires 10%.
Okay.
And so we're going to have about a 25%.
Okay.
Match. From the 1.6 million that this.
Out of the 1.6 million, 1.2 million would be used as part of the grant.
Okay.
Give or take, as the match.
And that gets us
and
to the railroad tracks.
And the rest would be the set-aside.
That gets us to the railroad tracks, right?
No, that's the whole thing. The grant is the whole thing, right?
That's just the match that gets us the whole project done.
Okay.
So it's about a $5 million project.
I see. So what you're saying is the 1.6 that ODOT's given us, we're using as the match.
Right.
For
less,
comparable funds.
Less the finance set-aside.
I see. Okay.
So what is it going to cost the city?
I mean the maintenance set aside, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What is it going to cost the city?
It won't cost the city anything other than our staff time. We've had Aaron look through, let me rephrase that. It may require some water line improvements once we have the street dug up. We did look, part of the 1.6 million is stormwater upgrades on the west side. On the east side, it's thought that there might be some water line improvements that will come out of the water fund as part of their scheduled maintenance. But other than that, this isn't anticipated to cost us any money. I want to just give one last little piece, and I may have said this before. When we applied for this last time, we were kind of like the next one to be budgeted if there were more money. Since there wasn't more money, we kind of got knocked off the block, so to speak, and I was a little upset because our original plan was just ask for $500,000, and ODOT, they're going to come out and rescope this. That's how I'm not too worried, and they made it a $1.9 million project, and so I was a little disturbed by that. I just want to tell you this quick story. Commissioner Morgan called me, and we met, and she reminded me of the process. And the ranking on how they look and do this. She goes, remember, I'm now on that committee that gets to rank and score. So the first thing is the project been applied for before and turned down? That's one of the criteria. If it is, you get more points. Does the project have a higher match than the 10%? And then the third is ODOT co-sponsoring it. In other words, ODOT themselves, the organization, endorsing and co-sponsoring the grant. And those are the three top things that gets a project funded, and we happen to have those. So I'm not trying to oversell it, but I am extremely positive this time as compared to last.
So the 1.6 million just covers up to the tracks?
Yes.
It doesn't go up to the State Street?
It may go to State Street, but it's another block.
Two blocks plus.
No, it would go to Kalapuya, not State.
So what's
from Kalapuya to State is county.
County, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that's.
But I would like to say one thing in terms of how long new streets last. So common logic engineering says 10 years, right? And you might be concerned because of our log truck traffic, right? But I, on the way up to the city today, was looking at Highway 99 South from our office. And I thought, you know, that still looks really good. It looks like a new street. So we called and found out that they did the railroad tracks to that first bridge there that's just south of the veterinary clinic in 2005. And they did from there up to, like, the market in 2008. And all those log trucks come down Central and turn down 99. So they've had all that traffic.
When you apply for the grant, will they require like a real preliminary engineer to put something together to give you a rough cost estimate?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's what I was talking about earlier. That's what they did, and they took our $500,000 estimate and made it 1.9.
I see. Okay. And that was just the ODOT portion, though, right? That was
no. That
was all the way to.
That was the railroad tracks to Bi-Mart, basically.
Okay. What about from Bi-Mart out to the county line?
What about it?
Well, that's kind of the worst stretch of Central as far as potholes and whatnot. Is that going to be kind of a separate item? Okay. So we'll phase that in.
It'll have to be considered as a future project.
Okay. And then last question. It seems, and you can correct me, I might be completely wrong here, but it seems that each year we kind of have budget to do one street project. Would that be an accurate statement?
That's in the ballpark, I would say, depending on our exchange money and how much gas tax funds we have.
Yeah, so if we were to focus on Central, how many years would you guess? I mean, how many projects do you think that would postpone if we were to try to go from county line all the way to I-5?
Using city funds?
Well, using city funds for the portion, like, for instance, finishing Central, you know, where we're doing this and then we got to finish Central. So
I don't think we would ever, ever be able to gather enough funds to do that.
So how would we go about doing the rest of Central?
We apply for another TE grant.
Okay.
Pray.
Okay.
One block at a time.
Right now it's, and one of the, not to digress, but one of the reasons Aaron wants to get another pavement management plan is to find out the condition and do some core samples in line with what you talked about with what Billsburg is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So with what money we do have, we use it to preserve for the longest period of time that we can, and that's really. And I also want to say, I know it doesn't help make matters. Every city in the state of Oregon is facing this.
Yeah,
sure.
It's just.
Do we have something in place to fix just, like, there's one pothole in particular that I see out right in front of Bi-Mart. It's pretty bad. It's a pretty big pothole. Do we have the resources to patch that?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
And we'll get that taken care of.
You don't have to.
Isn't that a. Is that our road?
That's our road, yeah.
Well, we're not even patching our own potholes.
Well, we are when Forrest complains about the one on Comstock, and it's not even ours, so. Yeah, we are.
Squeaky wheels.
Speaking of roads, when I complained about the crosswalks, you know, all the people talked to me about, we thought about maybe, you know,
We can paint them. I'd go out and paint them to give me the guides, you know.
That's a spring project.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's still on board. We're kind of talking now. Perfect.
Okay. So who do we have really appraise what it takes to do that? Are we taking ODOT's word? Do they say, yeah, this is what it takes to redo Central?
It'll be a combination, but our contracted engineer and ODOT. So make sure that they agree.
And if it does, I know Frank's mentioned it, I've mentioned it, let's say it gets in to be more expensive than what it's planned for. What does ODOT do about that? You know, they give a bid, we give a bid. So let's say we run into problems. Where do we go from there? You know, I mean, does ODOT come back and say, okay, well, we gave you this, we'll work with you, or does, I mean,
yeah,
is that?
And that's a very, very, very good question. What's happening with Comstock right now, mm-hmm. the North Comstock, what will happen is, it's kind of like what we're doing with Red Rock Trail, too. With what money we have, we're going to build that out as far as we have money. As projects close out and come under budget, or some projects that were funded that never happened, and that always happens, there's residual money. And so what they do is they then take a look at the number one, projects that were planned to be done, but for whatever reason ran out of money, mm-hmm. had circumstances that occurred, other than purposeful malfeasance, of course, and seek to fund and finish those first, which is why we're on the cusp of having success with the North Comstock, because that was a budgeted, approved, thought it could be done. It's already ready to go, been pre-engineered, been costed out, and so same with this. It'll get to a point where if something happens, for example, I don't know, you have a sinkhole and it takes up all the money for whatever reason. You wait till this time of year and you reapply for those residual funds to get the project done. Don't, then what you do is you get back in line and try to get head of the line privileges for the following cycle of funding.
Argue your case.
Yes.
So what is the cap of the TEMA grant?
Well, the cap is actually based on how much this region gets. For example, last time when we did this, we had, I think, $34 million that we were allowed to disperse through the region. And one of the things that they did, that we did, I say they because I was so new to the committee, I would just, you know, kind of learning and trying to go through the process, they actually added another ranking which said, can the project be broken down in phases? And the reason they did that, Councillor Stone, is because they didn't have enough money to fund all the projects they wanted. So at the end of the day, to answer your question, how much money we can actually get will be dependent upon how much money the region gets. And what they try to do, since we are a three-county area, is make sure that they don't overload projects in one county over another. So there could be a circumstance in which they ask us to say, okay, what phase of this project would you want to put on hold till the next funding cycle, where you will be that hold card I talked about earlier to finish the project. That could happen based on the amount of money they have.
Well, that's why if we take their grant money and then we put it toward that, and then we find out this is $6.5 million, is the grant going to be for $6.5 million? Is that what we're going to put in for, or do they
yes.
tell us what that grant is capped out at, say $5 million?
It could be. No, we'll apply for what they ask, what they say it's going to cost, and the SWAC will determine whether or not they want to give us $6.5 million, or say, look, you're going to have to make do with five. Will you do that? And we have the option of saying, no, we won't. We don't want to do the project if we can't have it all. Or, yeah, we'll take the five and do what we can. Well, and that will come down the line at some point.
That's what worries me, is if we get started in this, we take Central back over, we only get to State Street.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
And then we're not getting all the way down, just like what we just had happen on Comstock. You know,
yeah, but that'll
be... We're lucking out, actually, on North Comstock, the way it's...
That, but in that particular case, it was a county project. In this particular, that in which they had to say so. And if you remember, they came back to us and said, this is all we have. Do you want to do the project, or you want to do half of the project? And we did. And we chose to do half the project. And so in this particular case, if that were to happen, I don't anticipate it happening, but you never know, because that was a you know, kind of a rare thing to happen to that magnitude anyway. We would have the flexibility of saying, well, no, we don't want to do it because we don't want to take over West Central for only getting two blocks of the other portion of town done. No, that's not a good deal for us. We'll have the ability to say that.
That's why I'm wary of it, because when we first was originally talking about doing Comstock, they were a million short they came up with from their estimate. Now we're doing North Comstock. It's $1.9
million. 1.6. Not to be corrected.
Okay, half the distance is what they just did across the other street. This is way further, and it, I just don't see the numbers adding up to where, to me, this looks
it
like
isn't
it
isn't necessarily. Like, I mean, I don't want to argue, but the North Comstock piece, I think, is over 4,300 feet, which is close to 3/4 of a mile. And that's, we're only talking about a little over a half a mile from the railroad tracks to Mardona.
Well, but in the specs on Comstock, they're rewidening, they're changing the intersections where they're putting in handicapped sidewalks.
Right.
We're going to do that on every street down through here, all the way to Bimar, on both sides of the road. So mm-hmm. that is mm-hmm. what the cost is, you know, when you start getting all that. That's where
I think it's an additional cost, but the amount of right-of-way width that you have to do, the grinding, the overlay, the creating of sidewalks that aren't there, having to completely recreate the right-of-way, buy right-of-way, is an equalizer in terms of comparing.
Well, as long as we have the contingent that, you know, if they don't go, then we don't take the street.
That's correct. All the way through the process, up to where we actually co-sign with ODOT, we have the ability to say no.
Did we ever investigate the sub-base underneath Central?
We did ask Aaron to look at that sub-base in terms of, in particular, for the stormwater. And our then-engineer, Jeff Nelson, went out and looked at it, and there decision at that early juncture was that the $1.6 million that ODOT estimated could cover those costs.
That's all going to be revisited.
Well, of course.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, probably multiple times.
Yeah.
So, Jerry, just to get this straight in my head, you're going to take back part of the road for part of Central. Are we going to start any work on the part that we take back before we apply for this other grant? No. So we are not going to get ourselves hooked into this unless we can do the whole thing.
We won't even take that 1.6 till the grant is
good. So we don't have to sign. We don't have to co-sign to even apply for the grant.
Okay. We're going to co-sign to apply for the grant, but we won't take any of the $1.6 million as part of the match. ODOT. We'll just can't have ODOT hold that in advance to see if we get the grant.
How long? What if we don't?
Then it's...
we could tell ODOT.
Correct.
Our signature doesn't mean anything?
No. We have an agreement, and we will have an agreement
okay. With
ODOT saying that if we don't get the grant, we're not obligated to this.
Okay.
So who pays for the design to get the bid?
Well, we're doing it with ODOT.
Well, as I know about the trail, you know, they're designing the same as the bills are doing it. So this year, is this going to be that way too, to where we get over $300,000 for a design just to figure out what it's going to cost to build?
It'll be built into the grant and the project itself.
But I know that if we don't get the grant, then
there won't be design until we get the grant.
You're going to be a designer. You ain't going to bid it. How are you going to be able to know what it's going to cost?
We just do an initial scope of work.
You do a scope of work. There's no design yet until you get the grant.
They understand that. That's part of the process.
Well, but I thought I just heard you say that that at some point we would have to hire an engineer in order to get the grant.
Well, that's just to answer some of these critical questions that you have in terms of making sure we don't necessarily have to. We can go by ODOT's scoping, but what we're going to do is we're going to So to answer your question, in this fiscal year, we will hire our engineer to analyze ODOT's numbers to make sure they're correct before we proceed with the grant.
So on this trail that we're doing out here, didn't we spend a couple hundred thousand dollars on engineering design for that? I mean, we didn't personally.
I don't know, but I know there was money spent on it, yes.
But it was a large amount of money just for a bike trail that actually the trail already exists. We're just going to pour something on top of that.
And there will be costs associated with that, but that will be built into the grant.
Well, okay, but so when does the city actually, how much money does the city actually spend before we figure out what we're going to do?
I would guess about $2,500.
Okay.
Anybody else?
That's a good question, though. I think that's the point. If we're going to hire an engineer to look at the analysis and be comfortable with ODOT's numbers, we need to have
a second opinion,
so to speak.
So ODOT's numbers will be going from Comstock to the tracks. Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah.
whose numbers are we talking about? Where do we get the numbers from the tracks down to Weimar?
Well, I asked ODOT how we should transpose that at this early stage, but it's got to be scoped. ODOT will come out and scope the project. That's part of the grant application. And so at this stage, this is just them telling me that $1.6 million on the east side is a fair and reasonable number to look at in terms of doing a cost comparison. So those numbers are plugged in at this stage. Again, ODOT's going to come out, and we're going to walk it and scope it, and they're going to measure it, and they're going to have their engineers look at it, and they're going to then say what this project scoping costs are going to be. And then we'll have a more clear view of it, and then we'll apply for the grant based on those numbers with what our engineer agrees. And then when that's done and we get the grant monies, a portion of those grant monies will be dedicated to having it properly engineered.
Can we pull that one out separate to vote on?
Do what now?
Pull that one out separate.
Sure. The only thing I'm concerned on, that it's a great idea, I just, half of the businesses in our downtown is going to be kicked. Because there's no way you can widen this street out without a turning lane. So that's going to take parking off of one side of these streets all the way through the center part of town. It has to. Because if not, you're just bottlenecking. You're widening the streets, but you're just bottlenecking everything back down like it is out here now.
You can't widen Central.
No.
You won't widen it.
Yeah, the only thing you can do is take a lane of parking and to where you won't be able to park in front of the store, so you'll have a turning lane just like Central is on the other side of the railroad tracks. Because it is the main boulevard through town, so
I'm not arguing, but it says who, I don't understand where you're.
There's a turning lane now to go to Oakland.
That's what I mean.
You're not taking up any parking. That would be the same.
It'd just be the same.
Well, as soon as you come all the way through, you're going to have three lanes right through everything when you.
No, you're not. It doesn't show that you're going to have three lanes.
What about this picture where this comes up?
You've got a boulevard going through.
What?
Where this comes up the street, this first picture on the upper left.
The bulldogs.
Yeah.
The other side.
That's what pulls it back down here.
Mm-hmm.
You can't widen Central. You already have turn lanes going to Oakland, you have turn lanes going on Old Highway 99, so those will stay the same, right, Jerry?
Yeah, but
that was my understanding.
But
I wasn't
the bulbouts will restrict some parking.
Well, yeah.
And as part of the decorative making it a walkable community. The bulbouts were done in the middle 90s as a means of making downtowns and sense of place communities pedestrian friendly so that you feel safe crossing the street and to make them ADA, more ADA friendly. Mm-hmm. And so they just become the standard and almost nearly required process for doing a downtown today.
But yeah, on the corner, okay.
Yeah.
But those aren't cut in granite that you have to do those either. I mean, this is just a conceptual.
Oh, yeah. Again, what I want to encourage you personally is don't come up with the reasons why this can't be done. Let's come together and find a way to make it happen. This is a community transforming project.
Well, yes, it's too early to kill it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's tons of things along the way you can bring up.
Yeah, right. And there are far more questions, and again, until we actually sign for and apply for that grant,
you're not tied to
obligated to anything.
Yeah, I mean, and then you're going to get answered by people who, this is what, you know, what they're doing. So,
what happened between Comstock and the freeway?
That remains within ODOT's control, principally because they are at some point going to want to. Do what's called the IAMP, the Interchange Area Master Plan. Mm-hmm. So they need control of and the ability to acquire right-of-way and make that project happen as demand creates the need.
So the very first time we talked about this, it was the council consensus that until we could have a plan for maintaining and fixing the streets we have, we did not want to take any more streets.
Which is why we budgeted the money at part of this grant to build that plan.
Well, she was talking about $400,000 left over, which is only 1 year's maintenance for the city. For the other streets, it doesn't fix anything else. I mean,
that's just for Central.
But I'd like to see in our budget, because I think that we've talked about this ever since I can remember. I would like to see that we are working towards a plan to fix and maintain our streets.
Well, I mean, that's a separate issue from this, in that the intent here is that you didn't want to take this on unless there was a plan that we could show that would give us revenues to maintain Central after we fixed it up. And so the plan at this stage is to budget $200,000 to $400,000 and having it set in a trust fund for 10, 15 years, so then we could access those funds to pay for the critical maintenance of Central Avenue from Comstock to Mardonia. And that's what we intend to do. I mean, that's the intent for those funds, to put it in a trust fund, so that it can't be robbed to build a new city hall or something like that 15 years from now when we're not here.
Okay.
It can always be robbed. Is it really?
That's a good question. I wonder how we can do that.
When was the last time we applied for the TE grant?
Pardon?
When was the last time we
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's a biannual allocation.
Okay.
So we're also blessed that Commissioner Morgan now, who is a member of the Oregon Transportation Commission, hopefully she'll remember the conversation we had in my office last year.
Yeah, I'm glad you met with her, yeah.
So, yeah.
I have some questions on some of the other ones.
Sure,
if
sure.
That's fine.
Yeah, if you want to. You can pick whichever.
Okay.
Go first.
Yep. Just on.
Yeah, you missed out on the conversation on some of these.
Yeah. Just it was. These are really quick. On the urban growth boundary swap goal, and then also on Frank's suggestion with the mixed use. Both of them had a $8,000 estimate for zoning change. Can that be grouped into one, or does it have to do for each?
Two completely separate processes.
Okay, I was just wondering.
And I estimated 8,000 in worst case scenario, because hiring planning consultants and getting through the state's required land use processes. Mm-hmm. In particular, that I would guesstimate, and Vicky's behind me, she can tell you, that the greatest amount of money is going to be spent dealing with DLCD required processes, up to and including having to do a buildable land inventory for residential, for example.
Okay.
And that costs money to pay a third party. They won't let us do it. We have to have a third party AICP person do it.
Okay. And then,
and that's just worst case. It hopefully won't be. Yeah. It can't be done simultaneously under the same contract.
Okay. That makes sense. And then really my last question has to do with the kids part stuff. I saw that you had, we've already hired an engineer to design or to kind of look at that. Have we done that? I saw that in the notes here that we have.
Yeah, her name's Karen Meyer.
Oh.
Just kidding. I couldn't help myself.
Well, I'll do it.
Can we answer?
Yes, please.
We have secured Emily Overby with IE, and she's a design engineer.
Mm-hmm. She's the one that did this stuff.
She's the one who did that for Central as well. I don't have it yet, but she's putting something together. And we'll talk about that when we get to the resolution a little bit, too.
Okay.
If I might add on that, too, Councilor Meyer did come to me and ask that she wanted to play a critical role in helping do it, and I promised her I'd make her a part of and a liaison to this project. And so okay. That's why she specifically mentioned, apart from the rest of you. So, did I miss the boat on that?
Well, I don't know how when I read that, that was the first time I'd heard that I was going to be, but how do you be a
liaison?
Yeah, to a project.
You just been promoted.
Well, promoted to what?
Yeah. That's just details. That's just details.
You said you had ideas and you wanted to go around to groups and
I do have ideas. And I want to ask that if we can get labor, you know, free labor, can we do that on city property? Or are we going to be restricted from doing that?
I think there are ways of doing it. Chad would be a better answer for that.
Chad, if we get a bunch of people who would come out and pound nails and do that type of thing, do we have to pay them?
I'll be your typical lawyer and say it depends. Most likely we can get a volunteer force who can do most of the work. There are some restrictions. For example, we can't have city employees who would otherwise, you know, have some of these duties within their general job descriptions come out and volunteer on the weekend. We have to pay them. Likewise, there are some restrictions relating to, depending on the size of the project, relating to prevailing wage. But my guess is that this won't be a big enough project for that, so we should be okay.
That's all.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Got anything?
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to talk about was the mixed use. And I guess my concept of the mixed use was as much land as we can incorporate. It's from the railroad tracks, actually both sides, maybe going down 99. A lot of that I think would be, I think it'd just be advantageous to us if we can get it. And I just a thought that I do remember that I think it was Roseburg had a mixed use overlay where they didn't just rezone it, they overlaid what was there, and that's maybe a concept that could be looked at.
And we will do that.
Maybe it's cheaper.
Well, this piece is just the triangles on between Oak and.
Well, that's what he had down, and that's why I said that. I thought that it actually should be as much as we can. I mean, in theory, you know, that because it's, you know, the one that stands out is if you go down 99, starting at Central, you have the Neon Moon. Then you have the boat builder, and you go on down, you have the house, and then you have Marshall's, and then you have Wood Grains, and then you have a daycare. I mean, that is mixed use. I mean, that's what it is. And it, you know, it's not causing any problems. We're not having any problems with it. And if you took that down the other side of the street or on down to the tracks, or beyond the tracks, then maybe we could build some of those parcels. And I don't know, I just have a problem with this hang-up that the county has of all the industrial property has to be, you know, manufacturing jobs. You know, we're just not getting those. We could get half a dozen more ServPro type jobs in here, or companies, we could employ a whole lot more people.
Well, is that something as far as like
we will include
start
that.
There, or is it easier to include that, or can you start there and maybe bring up?
We'll try to include it. I mean, if we're going to be in the process of creating a mixed use zone,
that's something to look at.
Yes, and actually, I don't know. You'll remember I actually brought that up because I know you and I had this talk before, even though your concept originally, I mean, rephrase that, originally your idea to me was along Kalapuya, right. But at the council meeting, you just mentioned that one property. So at the meeting, though, I did mention that I think we ought to consider a mixed use zone on all the properties going out to the other exit along Kalapuya. And so I know it's in the thought process. Now that you've requested that, we will make a specific attempt to include that in the equation of analysis. That was a bad equation of analysis. I didn't pull that out.
I was impressed.
Write that. You should write that down.
I am.
I'm going to put that in the minutes.
You'll never remember it.
All right, do we have anything else? Well, we will just
get back here. You still want to pull Central out?
Well, I just don't want to spend a lot of money. I mean, if you say we're not going to spend a lot of money till we know this is going to work, but right now, you know, it's very preliminary. It's like Tammy said, these are just really preliminary numbers.
Yeah.
But I am telling you, we aren't going to spend a lot of money on this.
Okay.
Until we know we have a grant.
Okay. Did you say that louder than the microphone?
Speak very
clearly. I was going to try to make a wrap out of it.
Please don't.
So all seven, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, so is there a motion to approve all seven of the council budget priority approval list?
I move to approve all seven of the council budget priority list as outlined for the agenda.
I'll second.
Moving second. Any more discussion?
I just think that if the TE grants biannual and we applied for it last year, I think it'd be wise for us to at least apply for it this year, see if we can't get it.
No, what are you talking about?
That's Central. For Central. That's the TE grant we're talking about.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's okay. A biannual grant. You can only apply for it once every 2 years.
Okay.
So
okay.
Let's see if we can't get it, and we'll work from there.
Any more discussion? Vote.
Councilor Egbert?
Aye.
Councilor Boggs?
Aye.
Councilor Meyer?
Aye.
Councilor Anderson?
Aye.
Councilor Lazier?
Aye.
Councilor Stone?
Aye.
Mayor McKnight?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Very good. We have marching orders.
All right. Okay, we're down to the consent agenda. A motion to approve the February 23rd, 2015 regular meeting minutes.
I'll make the motion to approve the consent agenda for the February 23rd meeting.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion or anything? Vote.
Councilor Egbert?
Aye.
Councilor Boggs?
Aye.
Councilor Meyer?
Aye.
Councilor Anderson?
Aye.
Councilor Lazier?
Aye.
Councilor Stone?
Aye.
Mayor McKnight?
Aye.
Motion carries. We're getting tongue tied.
On the action items, general business, ordinance number 1040, annexation zone, change, second reading, adoption, city recorder. You're on.
I'm on. This is ordinance number 1041, annexation and zone change. An ordinance declaring the annexation by consent of real property, amendment to the zone map to change the property zoning designation from Douglas County zoning designation or RS suburban residential and RR rural residential 2 acres to the City of Sutherland's current zoning of R1 low density residential, withdrawing the property from the Kalapuya Rural Fire Protection District and directing the filing of instruments of record with the Secretary of State, the Department of Revenue, and the Douglas County Assessor.
Call for a staff report. Vicki.
Just in summary, that this matter went before the Planning Commission on the 27th of January. and came to you from as a recommendation for approval. You heard the first reading on February 23rd and held a public hearing and approved that first reading. Now you need to do the second reading and adoption. I did add something to the ordinance. I attached the findings, Planning Commission findings, and you'll see that reflected in section C of the ordinance. So I changed.
So is there a motion to approve the second reading and adoption of ordinance number 1041, annexation zone change by title only as presented?
I'll make the motion.
Second. And then move to second. Any more discussion?
Yeah, I wasn't here last council meeting. Is it appropriate if I vote for this or not? I just want to make sure everybody's okay.
Yeah,
as long as
you've
heard
anything.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
You heard it from the guy right there.
Yeah. From that screen. Give him a high five. Vote.
Councillor Egbert.
Aye.
Councillor Boggs.
Aye.
Councillor Meyer.
Aye.
Councillor Anderson.
Aye.
Councillor Lazier.
Aye.
Councillor Stone.
Aye.
Mayor McKnight.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. Now we're on to resolution 2015.01, Forge Pond Recreation Area. Call for staff report.
Vicki. This is coming to you as a recommendation from the Parks Committee. Actually, you got that recommendation from their June meeting, but it never was put on your agenda to take action. The Friends of Forge Pond came back to the Parks Committee and asked for us to do something to address their recommendation. They need a formal designation from the council in order to move forward with their nonprofit tax exempt, as you heard earlier tonight. So the recommendation from them is to approve the resolution. I might be able to answer questions if you have them, or Beth might be able to.
I have one question, and this is maybe towards for Jerry. It's about the wastewater treatment plant. It's my understanding that we've kind of had some hiccups with wetland issues. Is that correct?
That's correct.
What is our estimated time for, I mean, how long does that postpone where we're going?
Because it we expected worst case scenario 60 days.
Okay.
So we think our goal was to have it done by the 31st of March, as you recall, to expedite the process. And if you've read my report, basically, when they built the plant in 1977, they pushed spoils off to the side and some trees have grown on it and created a puddle next to it. And that's now a certified wetlands and we can't do anything unless we mitigate. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is just reconfigure the building construction to not touch that. And
so who's doing that work right now? I mean, nobody's really doing that because we're still an engineer, correct?
Right, yeah. But the Coos Curry Douglas Economic Development Corporation is doing it.
Okay.
Doing the analysis through a wetlands consultant.
Okay.
And state lands.
Okay.
And then, so that's proceeding and we expect to be able to move forward.
And I apologize. I'm not going to talk about playground equipment now. For some reason, my evil mind said it was part of this resolution. It's not.
No.
But the Parks Committee is making recommendations regarding that. We can talk about it if you want.
Maybe.
This resolution does Parks.
I have a question. I went to the last Parks Committee meeting, and I also talked to Beth Hausman on the phone. Do I have to declare any ex parte contact or anything?
Not with regard to this. This is a legislative matter. You only have to declare the ex parte contacts with the quasi-judicial matters, such as the hearing that we just had last time on the annexation.
Claire's mind.
Thank you.
I'm just kind of concerned we might be a little premature doing this before we have anything set up for our treatment plant and how that's going to fit into the rest of this. We had a talk back when we were talking Class A water that you had made a comment that we're 5 years out. Well, now we're 4 months and we're trying to make a decision on it already, and I just think we're a little premature.
I don't think we are for what we've been told is going to happen in regards to the ditching and the spillway or whatever. Because we went out and had a little walk around that puppy and that.
You've got that information I don't have.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not here, so I don't have it.
We just did this last week. So it looks like it's entirely feasible that one will not encroach upon the other. I mean, like, I didn't realize how much space is out there. And that's not counting what's up against the hillsides that we're talking about, you know, swap and that stuff. And the place is monstrous.
I guess so. I would like to withhold my opinion until I see it. I guess that's...
Want to take a walk?
Yeah.
Get some boots.
Yeah.
Deep roots.
We'd be happy to take you all for a walking tour like we did the parks committee. Seriously.
If you haven't done it out there, I recommend you do it.
Yeah.
I walked in areas so much when I was a kid hunting pheasants, I really don't have to do it again. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve resolution 2015.01.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any more discussion?
I got something to add.
Sure.
I thought long and hard about this when I saw this on the agenda, because I'm actually in favor for the park to have a park even on the west side, and even using Fort Spahn as a park. But like Frank said, my concern is with the timing of it. We purchased the pond for wastewater treatment effluent storage. How many times have we had DEQ come back and change things on us? We're not even in pre-design yet, and I don't want to throw another aspect into the wastewater treatment project that could potentially change the landscape of the project. Might have an effect on the cost, might not. It might also have an effect on what the park people or Four Friends of Port Spahn want to do. I just think that we need to wait until there's pen to paper from DEQ with a permit saying this is what we're going to allow you to do, and we have engineer drawings saying, hey, you know, I'm an engineer, I stamp and sign this thing, this is what we can do. There's no limitations due to a park. I really feel that the park is going to explode. I think it's going to move a lot faster than the wastewater treatment plant. It's really kind of our thing that we're behind the eight ball. We're kind of lagging a little bit. I feel, hold on just a second.
That's just my whole card.
Okay. That I just think we need to be in a better place to really benefit both the city and the Friends of Fort Spahn, because we could simply, the Friends of Fort Spahn could get moving along and have a path or whatever, and then DEQ could come back and who knows? I mean, they've changed what you can do in Class A water to swimming to just fish. I mean, it's changed so much that I would much rather have something in writing before we make a determination. And I really am sympathetic to Friends of Fort Spahn on this, because I know they want to get started, but I don't think the city is in a place to get started yet.
Jared, can this be broken into two pieces, to where we allow them to be a nonprofit, but we still research? There's a couple things. One, the land behind, originally when we bought it, we were talking about selling it off. Now we're trying to do some other trade.
Yeah, we just voted to do that.
But there's so many things, like you said, there's variables in here that, you know, I mean, the park is a good deal, but we don't want to create regulations on us right here by doing something that could affect something later on.
I think they're very, very, very good questions, and I'm not diminishing them at all. My only comment to you is that this currently is a no harm, no foul scenario for you regardless. The resolution is just an administrative mechanism for the most part that allows them to move forward their 501c3. You could make the motion to approve it, so long as that they know and understand that if conditions change, this resolution is going to be rescinded. And so at the end of the day, it's not too unlike the central thing, and tell you ultimately control the whole process.
My concern isn't so much now. It's that the wastewater treatment plant project will probably not break ground for a few years.
5 years.
And there could be a whole new council up here, and they might not know where we're at, and they might not know. I mean, how many times has history changed? You have a problem, and you can plan around a problem, and a lot of times in that planning, good ideas come into that. And all too often, over a long-term planning, those ideas start becoming what the planning is wrapped around, and the problem is set aside. Mm-hmm. So I feel it's my due diligence to say we need to focus on the problem, which is the wastewater treatment plant, and get that fixed first, and then move forward with the pond.
After pre-design is done, and I guess DEQ would approve it, is that a done deal then? Is that?
Yeah. Well,
is that it?
They can't come back and change things after pre-design.
Sure they can.
Oh, is that what you're asking?
Well, they can, yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime. Yeah. Just like, yeah.
They do.
I just thought that's what you were trying to ask.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to find out when is it that, because they have to put out a sum of money to apply for this, almost $1,000. And so I don't want to see them put up the money if we're in a position where DEQ could come and mess things up for everyone. And I kind of like to have Beth come up here, if she wants to.
Yeah, come on up. Yeah.
And part of if we proceed based on what DEQ has told us up to this point, and this is a viable project, anything can happen 10 years down the road with an agency like DEQ. But I think we just have to function off what they're telling us now. And you have a group of people here that want to bear the brunt of a project and get things rolling, and we're just hamstringing them.
When you did the path around Cooper Creek, did you get donations, or was that
That's
all
a
within?
Project.
I know. That was all Rotary. So did you have to get any special paperwork or anything to do that, or you just?
Well, we went to the county, you know. For permission to
that's county process.
Complete the trail's always been there. It's just that we kind of redirected it here and there and whatnot like that.
We enhanced it.
You know. But yeah, I mean we didn't have to.
Good word.
Okay,
write that down.
So my question is this, if we're not going to break ground to both of you, you and Beth, if we're not going to break ground for 5 years, what is it that the Friends of Ford's Pond can do that they need to do right away or can do right away? What can you do?
Well, let me tell you that we're going to continue upgrading and maintaining the facility. The first thing that's going to happen in the spring is there's going to be a brand new road built by the Bonneville Power Administration off of 138 all the way to the top of the hill. And it's going to be a pretty phenomenal road. We met with them. The second thing that we're going to do is over the summer months, we're going to fulfill the maintenance requirements of the dike and the culverts between us and the Woodruffs as part of the purchase and sale agreement. And then we're going to mow, maintain, and then state lands have given us direction on what we need to do with wetlands maintenance and cutting down the proliferation of nutria, and that's we've got this ongoing debate that we have to cut down willows. They want to keep the willows for the birds. So the city, those are the things we're going to do this summer. Does it interfere with what they want to do and what they're going to do? No. But frankly, this would be your opportunity to say what it is you plan.
Sure. Beth Hausman. So, first of all, to answer the timetable, it's the IRS that takes 18 months to approve the 501c3. They're slow as molasses. And until that happens, we cannot go for grant money. We cannot solicit donations. We can't do anything that involves big money. So say 2017 rolls around and we go forward tonight and we get that. That's when we would then begin the process with the first steps that we would like to take is to raise money to work towards a master plan for the property. So if 2018, 19, 20 is when water would be going in, we could be working towards what we want to see out there. And really, I do recommend, even if you haven't been out there for a while, that you do get out there to see. There is a lot of property that is not right next to the pond that could be used for various recreation, and there's a lot of great ideas coming from people. There's a lot of excitement, but we can't do anything. We were set up our bylaws that we are here to assist the city in raising money, in providing volunteers, in providing education on the area, promoting the area, to assist the city. If we don't have an agreement from the city that they want to work with us, the IRS will never approve our application. And as far as the cost, the board has, we voted and agreed that we'd be willing to take this step to make this happen because it's so important to us. We all have different reasons for wanting to be on the board and for what we'd like to see at Quartz Pond, and we're willing to do that to improve our city.
So you are not thinking of like putting in the path even before they start putting the water in?
No, absolutely not. The city owns the property, and as far as the maintenance to get around the pond, they'll mow it or whatever, fill in whatever so that they can keep doing their work around it. But we don't have the money to be doing that. We would love to get out there and get rid of some blackberries, pick up some trash, do those types of activities that we'd like to do. But as far as the big ticket items, this is part of the process to get ready for that.
And has DEQ gone out there and put any restrictions on the pond area for wetland? There's a wetland. Do you think they will?
No, it's state lands that we're dealing with right now. We've already met with and discovered that. At some point, we're going to have a management plan for the site for both DEQ and state lands, but that will come as the project moves forward. That's just a requirement.
Is that covered,
the water and the wetlands.
Is that covered under the people that take care of dams?
The dams were there, too. They were there. All three agencies were out there. We walked.
How does it look for that?
Excuse me, fine, great. Even the spillway, they gave a big thumbs up for that. Pardon me.
I feel a lot better about this if it was the resolution was is that they can go for their 501c3, but nothing, no shovels touch the ground until, you know, something comes back to the council. I just don't think we're way ahead of the game.
I'd also like to add that we have 26 months from when we incorporated with the state to apply to the IRS, and we incorporated in April of last year. So, you know, we see the clock ticking that we need to do that.
Anybody else? What was that again? I'm sorry. I missed.
26 months from the time they applied.
Okay.
That we incorporated the state in order to then file with the IRS for the nonprofit, okay. The 501c3.
Okay. Jerry, do you have any idea of when pre-design will be done and accepted?
I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I think it's... Anybody remember? I think it's next October.
This next October?
Yes.
2015?
Yes, I think so. But I'm only guessing. I don't have the schedule. I've sent it out to you. If you guys could spin your magic pads, you would see it in a previous staff report or a weekly report I sent out. But I
think it's at the end of the year.
Pardon?
It's toward the end of the year.
Right.
It might be December even.
All right. Thank you. I don't think anybody else has any questions.
Thank you.
If there's no more discussion, go ahead and vote.
Okay.
But you got more discussion, I'm sorry.
Well, I liked Frank's idea that anything that does take place somehow put that in the resolution, amend the resolution or something, that it comes back to the council.
Well, I don't think it needs to come back to council, but I'll amend my motion that, nothing can happen until the city has the authority to do it. I understand what they're doing. Our vote here tonight is just to help them get their 501c3, and I don't think it's a problem because if DEQ puts any problems on this, it all falls in anyhow. I mean, their 501c3 is worthless, so I'll change my motion if whoever seconded agrees that we put a stipulation in there that they can't dig any dirt or make any paths out there. If that'll get the thing passed, I'll do that.
Beth, is this strictly for Forest Pond?
Who's the second?
Yeah.
Agree?
Agreed.
Right. Okay. Second. Now go with discussion. Go ahead, Forest. Is this strictly for Forest Pond?
Yes.
So you can't work on any other park if you get your...
No, we're not set up that way.
You want me to come to your place?
Is this for the whole piece of property? I mean, I thought there was some land up above.
Well, that's what I'm concerned with. We did buy it to sell off the piece in the back, which we're trading the urban growth area, but we're not getting rid of the land. So it would be good to hang on to if you could, but $3 million is quite a bit of money. We're taking crap over paying that much money for the park. So as long as it, you know, because we don't have water height regulations, you know, do we have to drain it every year? Do we keep it so full? Do we, you know, there's things that aren't decided yet.
Time will tell. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, I'm trying to capture what you said. Anyway, the motion is with the stipulation that no construction moving an earth on behalf of the Friends of Forest Pond will occur without approval of the city council.
That sounds a lot better than what he said.
I agree. That's not just what I said. That's just the way I worded it. Yeah. Good job.
Well, I really think that a park over on the west side of town is really good. I mean, you have to admit that Sutherland's park situation is pretty pathetic. And if you want young people moving into this area, you have to provide parks. But if they have young children or kids that want to play ball, you have to have their park areas. My main concern is, and it's not really my concern, it shouldn't be my concern, but it's for these people putting out the money when something might go wrong. That's my concern. So
I think you're aware of that.
They understand that. Yes,
no problem. Me too. I'm for the park, but the only problem is if anybody had never gone out there, it's a fire trap ready to happen. And you get kids out there walking around. There's no rules around the park. There's nobody supervising anything out there. There's nobody from keeping motorcycles running all over the place. There's rules that have to be in place. I mean, there's a whole deal that's got to be on that property.
That's true.
Their classification is,
and we'll do that,
just the start of it.
Back in the old days, there's things go on out there too. So, you know, that's always been, I mean, Forest Pond's been around a long time.
Well, that's what
I'm just saying. I won't say any more than that.
How many children will you see?
Yeah.
Eventually, with the road, they will be able to see it. Life service out there. But right now, you couldn't get an ambulance out there. You couldn't, you know, when the road's built, you will be able to. What concerns me with that road that you're talking about going around is there is wetlands that you will be filling in to try to make it a circle.
Yeah, they've already received their permits to do what they need to do to build that road. But in terms of making a road all the way around it in terms of a circle, I believe we've got a handle on how that's supposed to be. I know what we intend to do is we have to do the culvert repair and repair that dike area and smooth out all the land. And the intent is to smooth it out enough where people can be safely walk around there without breaking an ankle. That's the essential mission this summer.
Well, the rules are going to be for walking, or are you taking bicycles?
If you want to try to take a bicycle, but
motorized.
Mr. Mayor, I call for the question. I think we're getting off point here. We've got a motion on the floor here. Just for 501c3 is all we're talking about.
Okay, so vote.
Councilor Egbert?
Aye.
Councilor Boggs?
Aye.
Councilor Meyer?
Aye.
Councilor Anderson?
No.
Councilor Lazier?
Aye.
Councilor Stone?
No.
Mayor McKnight?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right. Report, City Manager update.
Yes, Mr. Mayor and members of the council, I want to just keep you advised of two things that are coming on the horizon that's going to take, well, actually three things, sorry. First thing is we're going to do a real short budget schedule overview with the members of the budget committee. And for so this is mostly, since you already are in the loop, for the seven volunteer budget committee members. But I want to invite you all to be part of that. It's been posted to be on Wednesday evening. And at this stage, if you remember, Councilor Stone is the chair of this group. So, but we don't, Dan promises not to talk more than 20 minutes.
And that's at the library meeting room.
Secondly, I want to advise you of an accelerated land use process that we're kind of in the pinch to do, and that is creating some form of marijuana ordinance as the one you, the imposition that you voted for expires in May. So with that, we have to do an expedited process, which is a 35-day notice with DLCD, which is going to require a joint meeting with the Planning Commission and the City Council on April the 1st. Now, what I mean by a joint meeting is the Planning Commission, the requirement is the Planning Commission must consider and make recommendation to the Council. And so they're going to meet first. We're going to get their consideration and recommendation, convene the City Council, and do a first reading of an ordinance that will address the marijuana issue for us more permanently than what we have. And so,
when's this?
April the 1st. And the reason it has to be the first, Mr. Mayor, is a 35-day notice. We couldn't do it on the 30th.
And April 1st is a Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. At what time?
Well, we're going to ask the Planning Commission to meet at 6 and the Council to meet at 7.
Okay.
Why couldn't you do it on April? The
Monday.
Because of the time lag notification for 30-day first and second reading.
It was a state notification, I think.
Right. Right. I know that. But days. The reason has to be on the first, because that's a 35-day period, right? But then she's saying, why couldn't it just be the following Monday? And the reason it can't be the following Monday, it's 30 days before the ordinance takes into effect, and that puts us past the May 1st deadline.
What I was really wondering is, why can't it be sooner? Because we are really, if this is going to be an issue that needs a lot of discussion,
right, because it required 35-day notice, which went in today. In terms of the timing, maybe Chad can, because we just followed what David in his office.
So I think things are a little bit backwards.
Okay.
So we had to provide 35 days notice to the state before we can have the first hearing on the legislation. Because it's a legislative amendment to the development code, it has to have a hearing before the Planning Commission before it comes to the City Council. So before the very first hearing can occur, it had to have 35 days notice. 35 days will expire on April 1st, so that's the earliest we can have the hearing.
Okay.
The moratorium expires on May 1st, so if you want the regulations in place before then, what we're going to need to do is have an emergency clause in the ordinance to make it go in effect less than 30 days after it's approved by the council at a second reading. As you know, the council can approve it with one reading if it's unanimous, but you know, it's always better if you can't do two readings and not have to do it with just one reading. So I think the initial plan was to make sure that you had enough time in April to have those two readings. Jerry, we can talk about it offline, but you know, depending on what happens, if the council meeting is supposed to be on the 13th,
yeah.
You know, then the second meeting would be on the 27th. You're just cutting it close in case anything goes wrong. So, you know, if you wanted to do the 6th and the 13th for the second reading, that's probably something you could do without running into any more problems.
On Monday nights, right?
Both Monday nights.
I would like that better. That's,
I'll be gone on April 1st.
Yeah, that's fine.
April 6th.
Yeah, you don't have a meeting on April 4th.
Yeah, they want to go April 6th, Chad, if you didn't hear the mumbling.
Yeah.
And so partial grumbling.
I'll confirm tomorrow, but I think that should be fine. I don't see any reason why not.
Okay. All right, thank you. And then the other thing I want to talk to you about, a potential positive, hopeful thing, with the change in the Kenny Commission, Commissioner Boyce has brought up, why hasn't the Douglas County Industrial Board spent the $900,000 on this spec building? For those of you old-timers on the council, you'll be familiar with this spec building that was supposed to have been built out at the Airport Industrial Park. And remember, we talked about a virtual building, and we were going to put that virtual building on our economic development website. Well, now it's being brought back up. So I don't know where that's going to go, but Commissioner Boyce is excited about getting the county commission to reconsider this. So we met, we had our first meeting with Commissioner Boyce last week. Commissioner Boyce and I have exchanged emails today in terms of possible alternatives, but that's turning into something fairly positive.
They have no money. They have less money than we have.
Well, you know, they have lottery funds that they have to spend for economic development and only for economic development.
Really?
Yes, ma'am. And so those lottery funds have been sitting there for some time now.
Because if I remember when Susan Morgan was out here, there was a problem with the money.
There is, and they'll be making a presentation to you in April about that.
No, there was a problem with them getting the money.
For that?
Yeah.
Well, the problem was really more political than it was anything else. They didn't want to spend the money at a time when the county was cutting back. And Commissioner Boyce is going, well, yeah, I mean, I don't, maybe it's a poor perception, but we got to let people know what's going on. This money can only be spent for this purpose. We got jobs. Our inventory of available buildings has diminished even in the last 2 years. Let's get something going, and so that's what he's moving towards.
It might have been political in that some commissioner wanted to spend the money over here.
The real problem was, I used to sit on that board, was that a majority of the people that sat on the board wanted everything to be in Roseburg instead of the north part of the county, so that's what the real problem was. It wasn't a money problem, it was people did not want things to be Sutherland Ford, North Douglas, Drain area, south to about Winchester on, so that was the problem. It wasn't the money.
Okay.
I'm glad to hear that they're willing to let loose a little bit of money now and put it somewhere else.
So that concludes my report.
All right. City Council, remember, monthly time is limited. Please ask questions or make statements that are likely to benefit the group. Individual comments and questions that can be handled on a one-on-one basis should be handled outside the meeting. Councilor Anderson.
I got two things. One is I'm disappointed in the response to the RFQ for the pre-design, and I'm going to speak a little bit from a consulting engineer's perspective because I've done this before. Normally, when you respond to an RFQ, you have to spend a lot of time and resources to put those responses together. You have to understand what the city is or the municipality is, that what their problem is. You have to kind of figure out preliminary what the solution is going to be, and then you have to try to determine how much time and resources is going to cost your firm to do that, and then articulate it in a way that will try to get you the job. So there's a lot of time that you have to spend putting those responses together. So what happens is when you do that, you kind of go to the city and you kind of get a feeling like, okay, do I have a chance to get this project? Because I'm going to take away from projects I could be getting paid for to put together this response for RFQ that I'm not going to get a red dime of this back unless I get this project. I think what we have here in Sutherland is we've had the same engineering firm for over a decade doing our water and wastewater work. And I think that is one of the reasons why we had a lackluster response. $18 million project, we should be getting 5, 6, 7 engineers responding, in my mind. There was a project just east of the Cascades here is a lot smaller project. They got five engineers to respond. So, you know, to not have engineers like Kennedy Jenks and, I mean, these bigger outfits propose is a little bit concerning to me. And I just wanted to point that out because I'm just disappointed with what we had. The second thing that I wanted to say on a good note is I'm real proud of the Settlin girls varsity basketball team. They made it to the state tournament. They're playing this weekend. They're going to defend their state title. Go Bulldogs. I'll be up there to watch them. I'm proud of them. They should be proud of themselves. And I'm excited for what they're going to do. So that's all I had.
Mr. Lazier.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So
yeah, he stole my thunder too. I got it in last time.
I was going to say rah rah Bulldogs. Yeah. Took it right away from me. So I guess since I don't have any pom poms.
Sure beats go Ducks.
Yeah. I'd say go Ducks.
Only,
go
only Ducks. If you're a Beaver.
Mr. Stone.
I just have one thing. The reason I voted no on the Forge Pond deal is I think we're getting the cart before the horse. It should be designated a park. We should figure out what we're going to do for a design before you let anybody waste their money and their time establishing something. There's so many rules. It just seems like it took us 4 years to come to where we bought a piece of property, and in 6 months we've turned it into a park, and we've missed what we really bought it for and what our loan's for. And so that's why I just want to convey that online is that, you know, I think we're really getting the cart before the horse of saying, yeah, it's a park. Everybody go out there and run around when it's not even a park yet. It's a pond. So you can go look at it, but, you know, that's for until it's deemed a park, then so talk to the Parks Committee.
That's all you got?
Bring that up.
That's all. Okay. Shaver. Mr. Boggs.
No.
Mr. Meyer.
I have a few things.
Okay.
Just a couple. I share some of the same concerns as Wes and Forrest do about Forrest Pond and kind of putting the cart before the horse, but I understand the Forge Ponds Committee's concern also. And I just want to thank the people who serve on that committee because it is the people who have a vision to get things done that will get things done. Mm-hmm. So thank you. Thank you, Beth, and the rest of you.
We bailed on you.
The other thing is I went to the meeting out at the dams last week in the Water Control District.
Oh, yeah.
I did the tour. I did both dams, and Randy was also there from the water department. So I learned a few things from him. It's going to affect Sutherland somewhat. I mean, our dams are 50 years old. They don't think that they're going to have to do any dam work up at. But they're going to have to do a lot of dredging, and they don't think that's going to affect the park. I didn't even know there was a park there till we did that that pavilion.
Yeah.
But it's a really nice park. You guys should go up there.
Had our wedding pictures taken up there.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
See all the crawdads,
are
they out yet?
No, but I heard about them. I don't
want to
see them.
Oh, I mean, yeah, Flat Eye has huge improvements over the years. I mean,
it's a nice park, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's been huge.
There's always people out there fishing.
Yeah.
And when the park was not full, it had a lot of birds in it. Didn't have very many birds out there. A lot of waterfowl. Didn't have any waterfowl out, but not too much. Because it was full, I guess the birds like it when it's shallow, I don't know. But the Cooper Creek Dam, they are thinking, is 50 years old, there's probably going to be some construction. The park will probably be closed at that time. They will probably have to close the park down. So they're just what they are thinking at this point in time is probably going to be about 2017.
Same time we're
building a wastewater treatment plant. Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, so we won't be able to go to any
point.
Central.
We got both ends tied up.
Take your pardon.
You got a personal the end taken.
But it was interesting if you've never been on a dam tour. I learned a lot.
No more dam tours.
No more dam tours. Okay, I'm done.
Good. Good. It's hard to top her ending,
though. It is.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't have anything. Like I said, I was just kind of on the same line. It all kind of go with the boys' basketball team. You know, they lost. You know, they were league champions, like I said, the prior meeting, and to lose their chance to go up north by 5 points, and they played their heart out. So congrats to those two. Both excellent season. The girls are still on the run. I was at the game myself, and, yeah, excellent. So that's all I have. So, well, I'm sorry.
I would just like to tell the audience, if they're not aware, that we do have a new website that's up and running now, and I'd appreciate you going and taking a look at it. Just go to cityofsutherland.com.
Yeah. She likes responses. Give her responses.
Yes, yes. You don't.
If you don't, you're going to hear about it.
Debbie, there is one thing on that. It was locked on my computer. And that server does not open that up anymore. I had to retype it back in to get it to open up. It's under a different address.
Well, it's no, we have the same address. So it might have been your computer.
No, you have operator a / server or something on the end of that when you look at the real URL on it, and it's not on your new one. Because my son looked at it and he goes, "Oh, that's the problem," and he typed it back in and popped it back up.
Yeah,
but it was, if anybody's got it on their computer where it was quick, it didn't get the thing. It won't connect. It wasn't for mine anyway. It was a different
operator.
Just a couple of digits off.
Operator. Yeah.
All right, on the public comment. The purpose of public comment is to allow citizens to present information regarding items off the agenda. Time limit of 3 minutes per citizen shall apply. Does anybody have anything? Come on up, sir.
Good morning, Mike. Richard Vandervelden. I live on West 6th, off West 6th. I don't know how many people are aware of it. We get a lot of foot traffic up there on West 6th. A good day, maybe 150 people. And that doesn't count the high school who sends all their runners down there. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm all for the city redoing the roads and everything else, but the one little thing you're going to have to take in mind. 6th is the alternate route, and that's going to bump traffic up there. And that is a narrow little road, a lot of pedestrians. We already get some people going by doing 50 plus once in a while, but I would like to see if when and if this happens, and I hope it does, at least a couple more signs or something up there. You know, beware of pedestrians, or a couple more speed signs. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Do we still have that speed radar thing?
Something, yeah.
Radar,
yeah.
Whatever,
yeah.
No. We're going to put it out on Comstock. People are driving too fast.
There are flying on that road, yeah.
Especially up by the school.
There is a speed signs are missing on one end of that road.
Right.
You can put it on my property. Or I've got a big white stretch right off the road.
There you go.
Might call the chief sometime and ask if he can run it up there. Let it sit for a week or so. He will.
Anybody else? All right, everybody. Thanks for coming. Meeting's adjourned.